Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you that tonight is going to be error free. We're not going to have any problems with the internet, with the computers, with the headsets, or any of that stuff. In Jesus' name, and Father, we thank you that tonight everybody is going to share what you have given them, the glory that you have done in their life, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight everybody is going to have something to share. And let your word go forth, Lord. We praise you for a great night of glorifying you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's go ahead and ask if anybody has any prayer requests at this time.
Yeah, Michael?
Hey.
Yeah, it's Judy. I can use prayer requests for my oldest daughter that just got out of jail. She's not doing very good. She's been sick, but she's also, something else is wrong with her. I don't know if she's drank, I don't know what, but she definitely needs God. And I need for God to give me strength. So, dear Heavenly Father, I'm bringing Angie up to you because you know what she needs and you know what where her heart is and you know what's going on with her life. She's got a lot going on. It's hard to come into this world after getting out, and she just doesn't know what to do, I think, and just everything. But just, Lord, be with her, comfort her, let her know that you're there because she believes in you and she loves you. So just let her know that you're there for her. And Lord, also give me strength to handle all this that I'm handling. So I know that you've got everything under control. And I'm so happy that you do, because boy, I need to have someone have it under control. So I thank you, Lord, for having it all under control. And I know that it'll all work out okay according to your will. So thank you, Father. I love you. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just lift up Judy to you, and we ask, Lord, that you give her supernatural strength, energy to deal with these things, and patience, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you're slicing and dicing flesh off of her right and left, Lord, and she's going to be a mighty woman of God when she comes back because of it. You've given her patience. You've given her wisdom, Lord. We thank you for the wisdom you are giving her and have given her. And the words that she speaks to these family members, Lord, that they'd be words of light, that the light would go through and penetrate the darkness that's in their lives, Lord. And we thank you that she is that beacon of light that they need. She has that beacon of light. And, Lord, that she's going to say words that will just affect the rest of their life. Father, we just ask that you grant repentance to Angie. We thank you, Lord, for drawing her close to you, Father, giving her dreams and visions and laying a draping of fear of God all over her, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing there. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You believe that, Judy?
Yes, I believe it. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Yes,
thank
I do.
You, Lord.
That's what's holding me together. So thank you, Lord, for keeping me together.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Michael, this is Leona.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Well, I'm. I just kind of pull back and intercede for the group, I'm hearing something for myself, and that is that my living location is going to be loosening up soon, I'm getting a sense that it's going to be in East Tennessee, but I'm hearing something specific, and I want confirmation on it. So if we could just pray and be in agreement that the Lord will really open that up and begin to confirm, and then I will get excited because, I really like East Tennessee. So.
Amen. Well, Father, you heard Leona's request. And Lord, we just ask that you give her firm confirmation to where she's to move to. And Father, we thank you that you're going to do that in dreams, visions, words of knowledge, a word from your word, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. That's a done deal, Leona.
Yeah, and amen to that. I'm excited. Okay, thank you, Michael. Thank you, everyone.
All right. God bless. Anybody else?
Yes, this is Wade. I'd like to pray for my wife, Jeanette. She's hurting in her shoulders and her knees, and it seems to be an off and on thing, so I think it's a spiritual battle. I'm sure it's a spiritual battle, but also she's having stomach problems right now. So I'd like to pray for her in Jesus' name. Have y'all agree with me.
All right.
Okay. Dear Lord Jesus, touch my wife. Feel her shoulders and her knees, Lord. Let there be no arthritis or any such thing as that, Lord. And let the pains go away and not come back. And feel her stomach, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We command that pain to leave her shoulders right now in the name of Jesus. We command the spirit of arthritis off of her, out of her body. We bind you up and cast you off of her right now in the name of Jesus. She's not under the curse and she doesn't have to put up with that. And in the name of Jesus, we command you to go right now from her. And we praise you, Father, that she is completely healed in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Anybody else?
Michael.
Hey, Jackie.
Would you pray for me, please? I have been battling some kind of infirmity yesterday, and today I woke up and had a really bad sore throat, and I've been rebuking it in a fever, and is something trying to attack me.
Okay.
Please.
All right. In the name of Jesus, right now, we come against this spirit of infirmity and command it to leave Jackie's body right now in Jesus' name. We command the sore throat to not be sore anymore. We command the pain to go. We command these cold symptoms to leave her in Jesus' name. We command the fever to go in Jesus' name. We forbid you to come back. We forbid you to be there in Jesus' name. Right now, we command you to go and not come back in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that Jackie is completely healed in Jesus' name. You believe that, Jackie?
Amen, I do. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right, anyone else? Is that you, Cheryl? Down there in Houston?
Yes, it's me.
Okay. All right. Let me pray for you. Can I pray for you? I just
sure.
feel amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Cheryl to you, and I thank you for the wonderful work you've done in her life, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you continue that work, that you're continuing to get rid of the flesh in her. And also, Lord, we thank you for giving her dreams and visions and about the things that are coming, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you confirm to her whether she's to stay or to leave in that place in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that you're going to do this for her because she loves you, Lord, and you love
Amen.
Her. And we just
Amen.
Praise you, Father, for the work you're going to do right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. God bless
you. You too. Thank you, Lord. Chris Garber.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can I pray for you also?
Absolutely.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise you for the work that's coming out of Chris through his intercessory ministry. And Lord, I thank you that you're placing in him, you're giving him those things to pray for, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you show him some of the things that he's prayed for have come to pass, and the glory that has become cause of his prayers, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to impress in his life, give him dreams and visions of the things that he needs to do and needs to address, Lord, in his prayer time. And I praise you, Father, that you're making a mighty man of God out of Chris. In Jesus' name. You've already made a mighty one, Lord, but I know he's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, more mature. And I thank you, Lord, that his family is going to fall in line. We've prayed the prayer of faith for them. We know that they're going to all fall in line in the name of Jesus, Father. and every one of them is going to be utilized in the ministry that you have for them, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen, Chris?
Amen, brother. God bless you. Thank you. Praise God.
There's that world-famous unknown caller. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else need prayer? Or would like to pray for someone? All right. How about testimonies and praise reports?
I have a testimony I'd like to give.
Yes, ma'am. Let's hear it.
Okay. Actually, there were some really strong, long-lasting intercession on that last prayer that you prayed for that gentleman. There's a blessing coming upon that guy. I had got up last week and just wrenched my leg out. I don't know what I did, but it was painful, and I just kind of hobbled over to the stairs, and I commanded my leg to go up those stairs in Jesus' name, and it still hurt, and I laid down. I went to sleep, and thinking that, okay, just give it a rest, and I woke up. It was still bothering me. Later that afternoon, I was listening to the Word of God or a sermon or something, and I just got inspired to take a stronger authority and command the leg. And I spoke to it, because to me it's just the child and the woman, you know, ruling the temple, and it doesn't bear witness to Christ in me, you know. So I commanded the leg to be obedient to Christ in me, and then I took the leg and I forced it to do something that normally would make it hurt a whole lot more. I pulled it up really, and I said, I commanded you to obey the word. And instantly when I did that, my leg was pain-free. So I thought that would encourage everybody. But, I mean, according to your faith, so be it unto you. You know, we have to let the Lord build our faith. But that just happened to be mine. I think the Lord gave me the faith all of a sudden, you know, to just kind of get a little mean with my leg. And so I did, and it was just gone just like that. I was like, that's right. That's what I told you to do. All right, that's my testimony.
Amen. That's exactly right. We need to command those things. Take authority over them as Jesus gave us. Amen. That's a good one. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? I'd like to give the glory to God and the things that he's done for you this week.
I have a praise report. This is Judy again.
Okay, Judy, go ahead.
Okay, I was outside at Dollar General, and I had this cart, and this lady came by and says, well, I'll take your cart. And I said, okay. And she said, oh, you're from Tennessee. And I said, well, I'm not really from Tennessee. I'm from here, but I moved to Tennessee because I'm with a ministry, and I wanted to praise the Lord. And she said, oh, that's just wonderful. You're praising the Lord. I do that too every day. I just love to praise the Lord. She just went on, and then she started telling me about, well, the Lord has me doing a joy ministry. And she said, I go up to the houses and I knock and I tell them, would you like to give, I'd like to give you some joy. And so she gives them a bottle of joy, detergent. Then she asks them, they kind of break the ice. Then she says, would you like for us to pray for you? And then she kind of talks to them and stuff. And I just thought that was kind of a neat way to do it. She called it her joy ministry.
Hey,
so anyhow, yeah. I thought that was neat.
Yeah, that's neat. What's she have in the bottle? That's what I'm going to ask.
Well, Joy liquid, you know, detergent that you used to wash dishes with.
Oh, Joy liquid. I got you.
Yeah. Well, I think I was getting a call and I was getting a beep there if I was going out. I think that's what happened.
All right.
Yeah. I just thought that was a real neat way. She says, well, I would like to give you some joy. And then she handles them the detergent, and then they, you know, kind of laugh and break up the thing. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was neat. That's neat.
So praise your Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your joy and your ingenuity. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else got a praise report or a testimony or just like to share something?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. I do.
Okay, Chris, go ahead.
After that conversation we had yesterday and that prayer that we joined together in, I was able to meet with my uncle, and there was very fallow ground there, and I was able to plant some seed, and I just praised God that I had the opportunity to speak to him and share the light of the Lord and some simple questions and encouragement, and I thank you for the opportunity to come on these conferences and the teachings to learn how to approach these things, and I'm just praising the Lord that the seed was planted.
Amen. Yeah, we prayed for him yesterday. Today's Monday. That was Friday, Saturday. Saturday we prayed for him.
Amen. Praise God.
Yeah, we prayed in the spirit also for him. So you can look for it. It's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, somebody else came in there and wanted to give something.
Yeah, Mike, that was me, the other Mike.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Last time I was down there and one time on the conference call, I asked everybody to pray for my niece, Sarah, who had been suicidal. And the last time I spoke to my brother, he tells me that she's no longer suicidal and she's doing much better, and I am certain that our prayers helped her quite a bit.
Amen. Amen. I believe that, Mike. Yep. We've been having great answers to prayer. All right. Anybody else? Everybody else, I should say.
Yeah, Michael, I got one.
Okay, Bart.
First, the short housekeeping issue. Last time I had spoke, the place where my dad lives, the retirement community, I had mentioned that not once with any of the residents there did I talk anything about God. I got to correct that. There was actually one guy that did, but he's the only one. And even though he's retired, he's clearly not retired from Bible study. And even though that he goes to a different church, when I would talk to him, not one time that we had talked, we had lunch together, did he try to pitch any of his beliefs, any of his, you know, church doctrine, none of that. It was strictly Bible stuff. And I thought that that was so cool. Anyway, he was the only one, and because it was so long ago, I totally forgot. But I still find it, you know, such a contrast that in a retirement community where quite a few of, you know, several residents there are ministers are so retired that the subject never is brought up. Now, as far as a praise report, here this weekend, you know, I had another tooth start to bother me. And it was a pain profile such that it would come on, it would kind of show up on the scene and kind of, you know, be not terribly bothersome, but certainly present. And I thought to myself, okay, got to go through this again. And I thought, you know, how many times here in the past several weeks that God has spared me from the grinding, agonizing pain that can sometimes, you know, come with tooth pain, how he's delivered me so completely from all of them that it just struck me odd that another one would show up, and yet I took that to mean that the evil one and his minions are such fierce, incessant resistors for, you know, against the Word of God and all that he's done. I took it that way. So anyway, so as the pain started to grow here in the last day or two, as the pain started to escalate to the point where it was a significant distraction, I just, you know, would end up the night thanking God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your son and his grueling, cruel, and extraordinary sacrifice that we could be, you know, so delivered of, among other things, pain, you know, in our bodies. And the pain is going away. I just, you know, with some things where you figure, guesstimate over time, pains, things will eventually go. There are some things where in which they're more like an indicator that it's really just simply going to get much, much, much worse. I think tooth pain is one of those. And to see God deliver me again and again, and I thought the other day as the pain was subsiding, this is such a head scratcher. This is so, you know, excuse the expression, but it's so fit. This is so kick butt. How he delivers his people, how he delivers me, it's just it is just borders on the bizarre and head scratching how I am continually delivered. And I just got to mention that because when God intervenes for you, it's just it is so wonderful. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Amen. Awesome God we serve. He's going to back up his promises. All we have to do is just have a little bit of faith. He's going to do it. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody
yes.
else?
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah, I got a testimony. Jack, the Bible memory guy, just left here. That showed up at your house.
You talking about James?
Oh, I don't know. This guy, it could be James. I thought it was Jack. But real nice kid. Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah. Have a red Toyota truck?
Nah, he's got a blue car. They must be out in a group or something like that.
They got a bunch of them up here.
Okay. So I just prayed with them and so it's all good. But anyways, I just want to share a testimony that last night we were in fellowship, and since I've gotten back from Ohio, I've had a pain in my shoulder blade, and it just felt like somebody just stabbed a knife right underneath my shoulder blade. And we prayed last night, and I've had it for, you know, a week and a half, and that pain just went. I mean, it was just totally gone. It was just, you know, it was just awesome. And then this morning I wake up and the pain was there. And for a little while I was like accepting the pain because I'd gotten used to it having it for a week and a half. But then I realized that we had prayed last night. So I just said, oh, no. So I just rebuked that pain. And just, I don't accept this, and I just rebuked it, and the pain went away. And then, you know, later on in the afternoon, it tried to come back again. I said, oh, no, you know, so I see the ploy here, so I just kind of, you know, came against it again, and it went away. So it's just, you know, it was just awesome that I got a, you know, something I dealt with for, you know, over a week, all of a sudden, you know, was totally, you know, taken care of. But then the enemy always tries to come back and get you to, you know, all he wants is a little bit of doubt and a little bit of unbelief, or just, you know, you need to open that door back up. And that's what he was trying to do. And as soon as I rebuked it, it was gone again. So I just want to give the Lord the glory on that.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's awesome. Julie, I had to mute you. You know, go ahead and mute your phone and I'll unmute you here. All right, that's better. anybody else got a Oh, okay. I got you. All right, Julie. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or praise report or just would like to share something that God's done in your life? I'll tell you what. I've got. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Do you want to go?
Oh, you go right ahead.
All right. I have a testimony. I've been praying and believing for my brother, and there's some struggle still. I'm seeing a lot that's in his heart, and believing for him and lifting it up to the Lord. But the Lord's softening his heart, because my brother is a man of few words, and he's told me twice now since his open heart surgery that he loves me. Once he told me and once he texted me. So I just praise God for that, because that's huge. Mountains moved. And also last night I texted him and, said a little prayer over him. And last time I had done that and prayed over a text, he had texted me back not to, please don't text him, stuff like that. And last night he said, thank you. He said, you too. Good night, or something like that. So, you know, it was just a simple blessing over him to have a peaceful sleep and stuff like that. So I see the Lord is changing his heart, and I'm just still standing in faith for my brother. But I just praise God, because that's pretty awesome.
Amen. Sounds like the Lord is working in his life.
He is. He is.
Softening him up. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I love my brother so much, and the Lord knows, and, you know, it's just nice to hear it. So thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? What Tim was talking about, we've got a bunch of young men, I guess. It's at least two of them, maybe three, four, five, I don't know how many it is. They're going around, and they're selling these Bible memory things, I guess. I don't know what they are. Anyway, we had one come up to the house day before yesterday. And, no, it was yesterday. And he came up, and he's had his little old case there with him, and came on, and we've invited him in the house, David and I. And he opened his case up, and he went through his testimony spiel, you know, oh, brother so-and-so and such-and-such bought one of these for his brother-in-law, and he bought one for his son, and boy, they're just doing great with it, you know, and all this stuff. And I could see David, and I was watching him, because I figured he's going to say something in a minute. And David said, son, are you saved? And the boy said, yes. He said, well, are you filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And guy said, yeah. David said, with the evidence of the gifts, are you baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of the gifts? And then David, guy didn't know what he was talking about. He said, I finally asked him, he said, you believe that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit when you were saved? And he said, yeah. So kind of, you know, you can kind of peg him in. So David went into what the Holy Spirit was and told him all in Acts. In Acts, it talks about the Holy Spirit, and he needs to read that with an eye for that. And then the guy is selling a way to help memorize the scriptures, which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But David explained to him, he said, look, in the Word of God, it tells us that the Holy Spirit, if we read the Word of God and we study the Word of God and we renew our mind with the Word of God, that the Lord will bring that to our remembrance. And when you put it in your spirit, then God can go down and God's got a catalog down there, so to speak, and bring it back out whenever you need it. And of course, we all know that. We've all experienced that. And then he told him, he said, you know, memorizing is good. It's real good. He said, but then it's in your mind. It's not in your spirit. It's in your mind. And when you put it in your mind, there's too many ways for you to mess up that scripture. He said, but when you put it in your heart and your spirit, then God uses that to bring it out when you need it. Well, you could tell this boy, this young man was getting nervous, real nervous. And David did, he went on for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes with him. And I could tell the guy was slowly putting stuff back in his suitcase. I kind of watched him. This is a young man. He was probably in his 20s. And putting his stuff back in his suitcase, and he closed his little old suitcase up, and he kept looking at his clock, at his watch. And finally he got up and he said, I've got to go. But, you know, I believe these chances that these guys are, when they come around to people who do have the truth, not that we have all the truth, but we got some, that when they get that, at least it opens the door for them to look and see, well, maybe what my religion is not complete yet. Maybe I do need to get in the Word of God. Maybe I do need to get in it and find out for myself what it says rather than what men say it is. And I thought it was a great testimony to this young man about his belief system and what the Word of God actually says. And David is so gracious, you know, when he does that, that it doesn't offend anybody. It just opens up a new avenue for somebody to explore the Word of God for themselves. So I thought that was pretty neat. All right.
That would have been I said that would have been a conversation for us to be listening to.
Well, I tell you what, I was watching the young man because I knew he wanted to sell something, and all he was doing was receiving the gospel, the true gospel. And even though he was nervous, he was kind enough to sit there and listen to David as long as he could when he finally had to get up and go. But I believe it was an ordained meeting, actually, for the young man. And that's why we always need to be ready in season and out of season, because you never know what's going to come up at your door. Okay, anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about? A question?
I actually had a guy show up at my door the other day. I was kind of falling asleep up in my bedroom here. And then all of a sudden heard a door knock. I knew my wife wasn't home. I thought, okay, somebody's at the door. So I went downstairs, and by the time I got there, I'd seen some guy's shadow leaving, but he seen me coming down the stairs, so he comes back. So I opened the door, and we greet each other, and he says, well, I want you to tell you right off. He says, I'm not a politician, so I'm not here to run for office, get your vote. I'm not here to try to say windows. And right then, I'm going to give this all to the Lord. Not that I did anything spectacular in this conversation, because I kind of was like Jeremiah in a sense. I kind of beat him over the head with a little few things. But I said right to him, the Lord gave me, I says, well, you're in finance. And he looked at me and he says, yeah, I am. He says, oh. I said, well, what do you want to talk about? Well, I want to talk about investing. I said, yeah. He says, well, you know, I haven't really been putting any money in my retirement account for years now. I says, because I'm going to lose it all. He says, you're going to lose it all. I says, yeah. He says, I just think it's all going to fall apart. Yeah, everybody's talking like that. But, you know, back in 2008, if people would have had a chance to do this right, they could have reinvested at the right time. And they could have made 400% of the money instead of losing it. And I says, well, I said, this time we're going to lose it all. He says, well, no, I think we're probably in good shape. I think I see some bad times. Then I explained to him about how Mexico was in debt for $550 billion to us. And I said, did you know that? And I said, did you know also that Puerto Rico is $70 billion in debt, and they are folded? And I said, that money is coming from us also, from our investments. And I said, now you have Greece, and I talked about Greece a little bit, and I said, well, in Greece, eventually is going to make Germany weak, and they're going to get unstable. When they go, all Europe's going to have a problem. And I says, Mexico's going to go, and then we're going to go. And we're not coming back. I start giving this information. And he says, well, you know, I'm a Christian. And I says, well, then you really need to pay attention to what I'm telling you. I says, now's not the time to be playing with this. You've got to figure out where you are in the Lord and get serious with life. I said, I appreciate you, and I think you're probably a wise guy with finances in a sense. But I said, you know, another few months from now, this is all going to be gone. I mean, we're heading for some serious trouble. And I says, you know, I know where he was going. He wanted to get that quick sell, get you going, you know, and get people on track. And a lot of people say they're Christian, but when you start telling what's going on in the world, you can see they're blind to what's happening. So that's about as far as my conversation got with him, you know, to remind him. I just basically said, you got to, you know, take this, start, look this over and get serious about everything. But that's my how things went yesterday with me. But it was like instantly the Lord just told me. I he didn't have to tell me. I knew. I said, well, you're in finance. And then he just kind of floored him when he said, oh, I said it to him. So he didn't expect me to tell him what he was doing. But that's just my, I'll give that all to the Lord, you know, credit why, divine appointment why he was there.
Amen. Well, the guy went away thinking about what you had said, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, when you tell them, when you start telling people about the times that are coming, you get the ears. They either want to run or they want to hear a little bit. But it's overwhelming. I know it is. You know.
Yeah, it is. Well, one thing that has got my wife listening to me is this grease thing, and I've told her. I said, you know, if when grease falls, just like David was talking about, I said, Germany is going to be in trouble because Germany is the stoutest financially country in the European Union. They're going to have big problems if when Greece falls. Then I told her some more stuff and she's listening now. And where before she wouldn't listen to that kind of talk because she sees it on the news, you know. At least they're saying something about the Greeks. They're not telling the whole story, but they are at least talking about Greece and its failure. And of course, I told her about Puerto Rico and Mexico too, David, how that they're in bad shape, and told her that there'd probably be a South American country go down after Greece, possibly Germany. And then the South American, I said, and then 2 weeks after that, you can look for the Americans. Mexico and Americans to go down. I said, it's just going to happen. And, you know, that's the thing about what David was talking about. I think he covered that last time he did a Bible study. It's coming to America. We don't know exactly when, but I saw a couple of economists talking on the Internet, speaking about the Greek situation and America's situation. They said, if you compared Greek's finances with America's finances, Greek is physically strong. They're physically strong. And I'm talking about money-wise, because America is so much more in debt than they are. What he said was America's just got better liars and are able to hide this stuff a little bit. He said, but it'll all come out in the open after a time, you know. So it's what David was talking about is true. We're in the U.S. is in very bad financial position right now. And it doesn't make any difference what they say on the news. It doesn't make any difference what they say out of the White House. What's happening is that the whole world is fixing to go down the tube financially. And that's why we've been hammering, you know, about getting yourself right with the Lord, absolutely surrendering yourself to the Lord in a way that the Lord can then take you and mold you and into that place. And look, when you surrender yourself to the Lord, it's all by faith. God does it himself. He brings you into that realm of holiness. It's not anything that you can do other than to give him the faith and to walk in that walk that he's asked you to do. So yeah, it's time, folks, to don't worry about what's going on around you. Just get your eyes on the Lord. And when you get your eyes on the Lord, my goodness, look at all the promises he's given us. Remember what happened to the people, the Israelites, when they went out into the desert. Man, they had to go around that mountain, I don't know how many times, for 40 years before and they never did get it right. Only two of them got it right out of that bunch, the original bunch. But, and that was a type and a shadow. That's a lesson for us to learn, to get our eyes on the Lord. And when he says he will provide and he will protect, then you need to believe it. We need to believe it. And don't worry about storing up stuff for yourself, because storing up stuff, what happened? Jesus said it'll just rot and worms will get it, all that other stuff. And he's going to put you in a position. He's going to force us in a position the Lord is, to trust him for everything. And he wants us in that position, because then he can show himself strong. We're at our weakest when we can't do anything ourselves. We're always wanting to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and help ourselves and help the Lord out. I've done that for years, you know, and finally he gave me a vision of him walking on the sidewalk, the Lord himself walking on the sidewalk. I passed him up on a motorcycle. Went on way up ahead of him. Lord, I can do this. I got this. Went on up ahead of him and crashed in the vision. And the Lord was showing me, you know, you can try it on your own. All you're going to do is just go up there and hit a brick wall. And so that told me right then, look, you need to be learning to believe God and believe in the promises that he's given us. Because in the days ahead, you're not going to have a Walmart you're going to be able to run over to. You're not going to have a Walgreens that you can go over there to. You're not going to have a doctor that you're going to be able to go over to. You're only going to have the Lord. And that is more assured of getting through this thing than anything that Walmart, Walgreens, or anything else the world can provide. Because he's going to give you the right amount at the right time. Not any more, not any less. Remember what happened out there in the with the Israelites in the desert. He told them, he said, just get you enough manna, get you one omer of manna for each family. Of course, there were some trying to get more, some trying to get less, or trying to get by on less. Some of them was trying to store it up. And what happened to it? Turned to worms next day. All he wants us to do, he wants us to trust him daily. Don't worry about tomorrow, just worry about today. That's what he told us in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. He told us, just worry about today. And that's all we got to do. We got to put our strength all in God's hands. Put self all in God's hands. And when you do that, oh, that's when you're going to see some miracles, glory to God. You're going to see miracles like you've never seen before. God's going to do so much in the days ahead. He's going to do so much for his people that believe. And that's the truth. We get our eyes focused on him. Forget about all this other stuff. Forget about trying to get up enough food to last you for 6 months. You forget that. God will see to it that at some point in time, you're going to have to depend on him. He's going to put you in that situation like he put Moses and that bunch of Israelites at the head of the, at that little peninsula he put them in, blocked them in there. They couldn't go to the left. They couldn't go to the right, and they couldn't go forward because of the Red Sea. And Pharaoh was breathing down their necks and behind them. And he did that for a reason, so he could show himself strong to them and make them believe, look, I can take care of this business. You just step back and watch. You just believe what I've told you. And what did he do? He told Moses, he said, man, part them waters. Yeah, I gave you that authority. Go ahead on, part them waters. And off they went. And he took care of that. And he took care of the enemy behind him. And he took care of the provisions in the wilderness once they got in the wilderness. They still murmured. We don't want to be caught murmuring. We want to believe what the word says. We want to do what the word says. And the word says all we got to do is have faith and act on it. We know beyond a shadow. Listen, even though God has made these promises, don't believe that you're not going to go through a trial out there. Remember, they went 3 days without any water out there. And then they came upon that poison pond out there, that poison lake out there, And boy, the murmuring went on. And Lord, you'd have gotten us 3 days. We can't run back to Egypt right now. What did he do? He got them in a place where they had to believe him. We can't run back to Egypt now. It's too far away. We'd die before we got there. All right, I got you right here. What you gonna do? And of course, Moses prayed. God told him what to do. He throwed the tree in there. What did the tree represent? That represented the cross, didn't it? And they were able to drink because of the curse had been put on the cross. And that's all we have to remember is the curse is not of us. The curse went on Jesus' back. And all we have to do is believe it. Don't think that you're not going to go through these trials. You're going to go through trials. The word says you're going to go through trials and tribulations. Just like Paul did. And every one of them, though, he was saved because he believed in the promises of God. And that's what he's going to do with us. We're going to see mighty, mighty miracles happening in the days ahead. And I just believe that every one of you are going to get to that point to where you're going to believe God implicitly. And that's where he wants us. Absolutely surrender ourselves to him. Wholeheartedly. Run to Jesus. That's what he wants. Believe what Jesus says in his word. And man, you're going to see these miracles. You're going to see miracles for your family and your friends that you've been praying for. You're going to see it. And all we have to do is have that little bit of faith that he's given. And God gave us that, for goodness sake. We ain't got nothing that we can do to save ourselves. God's given everything to us to do it. And all we need to do is just follow what the word says, right? Amen. And I'm going to jump off his soapbox for a little bit. Let somebody else talk.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, go ahead.
I actually found something on the website the other day. I downloaded and listened to it. It's great teaching. It covers all that really well. You might even recognize the guy who did it. It's called No Murmurers Allowed by Michael Hare.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I remember.
That's a really good one. I'd recommend everybody to get a chance to listen to that one again. It was done 9/28/14. Yeah, it's got some good stuff in there. It talks about Boris Sikorsky. I think it's Sikorsky, is that right? That's the Russian immigrant?
Boris Sikorsky? Sikorsky, I don't know ever how you pronounce
it. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, it was well done. It's very well done. I think, and we all need to listen to that a few more times. It's definitely following or back up what you were just talking about and more. So, you did a good teaching on that. So, I recommend it.
Well, amen. Anybody else? Nobody wants to talk? Come on now, Michael. You were in here. Yeah, there you are. Is that you, Michael, or is that Angie?
Hi there, this is Angie. Michael's not here tonight. He's out preaching at a funeral.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, praise God. Lord, we just thank you for the people that's going to listen to Michael and that there's going to be a lot of souls saved tonight at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Come out of that dead man's bones.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, amen.
All right. Anybody else want to share something?
Michael?
Yeah, go ahead, Stan.
Okay, yeah, a little over a week ago, I was alone and I was praying and thinking about things, and it seemed like the Lord was saying that we all need to be transferring into God's economy out of our money and our dependence on the system and everything, because the system's not going to last much longer.
No, that's what he's been telling us for quite some time now, Stan. I don't know, last few months, it's really been hammering it home that the economy's going down the tubes. Of course, we don't know exactly when, but I'm telling you, it looks like once it looks to me. And if they don't come to some kind of agreement with Greece. It doesn't make any difference if they do or if they don't. The fact is they don't have any money. They don't have any money at all. Any kind of agreement they have is just going to prolong it, just going to band-aid it just a little bit. But it's going to have a domino effect when they do. And just like we were talking about earlier, the whole world, China's in bad shape. Russia's in bad shape. Every country has got problems financially. You might think that China doesn't have financial problems. Their stock market fell the other day drastically. When Greece announced it, that stock market went plumb to the bottom. So there's no strong economy out there. The bankers want this new world order, and they're going to get it one way or the other. All right, anybody else want to share something? All right. We were talking a little bit earlier about you're absolutely surrendering to God. And God expects us to do that. He expects our complete surrender to Him. And it has its foundation in the nature of God. God can't do otherwise. Who is God? Y'all know who's God. He's the fountain of life. The only source of existence and power and goodness. And that's in the entire universe. There ain't nothing good but what God works, right? He created the sun, the moon, the stars. He even created the flowers and the trees and the grass and every one of them. All of those things. Everyone, listen to me. All of those things are surrendered to God. And they allow God to work in them just what He pleases. And that's the way God wants us. When God puts those pretty flowers, the beauty on them, that flower has yielded up. It's surrendered. It's given over to God as God works in the beauty of that flower. And in us, don't you think God can work the same way in us? He's not going to work in us if we're just halfway given to it. He's only going to work in us if we're every bit of our fiber is given over to the Lord. That's when He can use us. And the only thing that hinders Him from doing what He wants to do in us is us. That when you lack complete, absolute surrender, that keeps God from doing anything in your life. Do you know what absolute surrender is? I can tell you in the natural. I've got a pencil here. That pencil is absolutely surrendered to my hand. My hand. I can utilize it the way I need to use it by writing what I need to write. But if somebody grabs part of the pen or the pencil with me, then I'm not going the way I want to go. I'm going the way he wants to go and I want to go, and it's just not working. It's when we have complete surrender to God that God can work in us. You know, Solomon, and I'm looking here, the Temple of Solomon was absolutely surrendered to God when it was dedicated to him. And what are we? We're every one of us a temple of God, in which God dwells, and He works mightily on us to absolutely surrender to Him. God claims it. God's worthy of it. And without it, God's not going to work His blessed work in us. But you know what? God not only claims it, but He'll work it in Himself. He'll work it Himself by faith, by using our faith. A lot of you might be saying, but man, if I surrender, I'm going to have to give this up. I'm going to have to give that up. Well, you're going to have to give a lot up. You're going to have to give all the world up at some point in time. You're going to have to give all the flesh up. Flesh ain't going to heaven. So might as well go ahead on and do it now and let God do that work in you, right? And get rid of that self-life that's still remaining. Go ahead and get rid of it all. It's not worth missing God because you've got some kind of little old self that you want to do. You some little old self sin that you want to do. Listen, yourself ain't going to heaven. Y'all all know that. Jesus Christ in you is what's going to heaven. And that 30, 60, and 100 fold. If you got 29 and a half, you ain't going. I'm telling you, you have to have at least 30, 60, or 100 fold. Why not just go in at 100 fold and just give it all to the Lord? Give every bit of it. You remember what, and what happened, what's good about the whole thing is that God himself will work it in you. All you have to do is give him the faith and do what he tells you to do when he's doing it. That's all. He does all the work. All we have to do is just believe, right? And quit doing those things that he's told us to do. Repent. Every time he tells you to do something, just repent. Remember Abraham? You figure that was by accident that God found Abraham? He's the father of the faithful and the friend of God. Abraham didn't do it himself, apart from God. He didn't have a whole lot of faith to start with. Y'all know the story. But God did that work in him as the years went on. As the years went on. And that's what I'm saying. You know, it's not anything that's just going to happen overnight. It's something that happens gradually because God's working it in you. Now, he's going to do a quick work in those that are absolutely surrendered to him. He's going to do that quick work in you. Remember what he told Pharaoh in Exodus 9? He said, "For this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power." And if God said that of him, of Pharaoh, will not God say it for every one of his children? Of course he will. Of course he will. Cast away any fear about losing the old self-life. Cast away any fear about losing any part of the world out of your life. Get rid of it. Because you're going to have to sooner or later if you want to go to heaven. And you know what? God does the work in us. He does all of that work in us. All these things that you have in your life. You know, you have a searching, you have a hungering, and you have a longing for God in your heart. And that's the drawing of that divine magnet, Christ Jesus, in your life. And you know what happened? You know what happened to Jesus? He lived that life of absolute surrender. And he has possession of you now. He's living in your heart by the Holy Spirit. Somebody needs to mute. I don't know who it is. I haven't found out. But I can hear somebody working there. But God can do it himself. He not only claims it and works it, but God accepts it when we bring it to him. That's absolute surrender. Remember in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23 says, "If thou canst believe," when he was the man, when Jesus met that man, he said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And what did the man say? He cried out to him, "So Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Boy, that was the faith that God was looking for, and he triumphed over the devil, didn't he? And that evil spirit cast out of him. So that's what I'm saying. We need to allow God to do this work in us. We need to maintain this absolute surrender to God. Once you do it, once you have done it, and I'm sure some of you have already done it, but you've got to do it in a way that will cleanse you all the way through. A lot of you say, "Well, I've done that a couple of times, but I've always failed." Well, that's because you tried to do it yourself. And that's what happens a lot of times. But we try to do it ourselves instead of allowing God to do it in us. That's faith. That's what you want. You know, we can't do anything. We can't stay focused enough unless we've got our eyes on Jesus. You got to get your eyes on Jesus and keep it on him and a know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he's done that work in you. And when you do that, he's going to clean you up moment by moment. It's not going to be all at once, just like I said. You're going to have to go through trials. And sometimes it's going to feel like you're being pulled through a knothole backwards. But you got to know that God's doing that work in you. And you got to want it enough to give up everything for God. Ain't nothing more important than getting your eyes on Jesus right now. And I absolutely encourage every one of you to tell God, Lord, I want to give my whole life, absolutely surrender my whole life to you. Give it to you. I don't want the world. I don't want myself. I just want you. And I'm going to believe by faith, Lord, because your word says it, that you're going to do this in me. And just keep your eyes focused on the Lord. And you'll have that complete surrendered going the way you want it to. And you won't fail because there's nothing to fail. But God, and God's not going to be kicked off the throne. And he's not going to fail. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. Y'all have read Sovereign God. You know what I'm talking about. Everything that happens around us is for one of two reasons. One, he's wanting you to repent from your sin that you're doing. Or it's a test of your faith to let you know, hey, I'm still around. I'm wanting to strengthen your faith. So everything that happens around us is for a reason. And that's to manifest the sons of God in for God. When you get to the point to where nothing else matters but Jesus, then you're going to see miracles. You're going to see God answer prayers. You're going to see God doing the things that he said he was going to do in the word of God when you absolutely surrender to him. Praise God. Anybody got any questions or got any comments they'd like to add?
Yeah, Michael. talking about absolute surrender, that's when I started to really see the miracles of God. And I was always at a place where I was trying to walk by faith, but I didn't give up me taking care of myself or feeling that I had to provide everything for my family and it was all based on me and it wasn't based on the Lord. And when I got to the point where I made the decision that I was just going to just trust in the Lord no matter what, and, you know, it was kind of a scary time. It's, you know, what if I'm wrong? You know, what if God doesn't provide? What if God doesn't show up? You know, the enemy brings all these what ifs in there. And I just had to come to the point in my life where I just said, you know, I'm just going to just trust in God in all things and quit trying to take care of myself and provide and all these things I was doing. And you know, I had all these what-if scenarios. And once I got to that point, and it took a chastening of the Lord, you know, he kind of brought me to an extreme place of weakness where I needed to make a decision. But once I was brought to that place and I made that decision, something was lifted off. I mean, that's where some of the bondage was lifted off. There was just this place of surrender where what you're saying, an absolute surrender, where I just surrendered myself and I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. And that's really, I can see, is the point of a major turnaround in my walk, where I just started, and that's where I started to get set free of some bondages and get delivered of some things. And I was keeping myself in bondage because I wouldn't let go. I wouldn't let God do it. And I was trying to always have, you know, a fallback or a safety or this or that, or, you know, what if this doesn't happen? And I finally had to come to that point where, you know, I knew that if I made a mistake, the Lord was going to take care of me. If I was not in rebellion, but I was just totally trying to walk in faith. And I can truly say is that when I came to that point of absolute surrender is when I really saw a turn in my walk. And that's when I was starting to really get set free of a lot of different things. And then after I was set free of some things, he really gave me a hunger for the word and the truth and stuff like that. But I had to let go. So I could totally relate to what you're saying.
Amen. Yes, that's true. In order to walk in Jesus' step, we got to follow his physical crucifixion by going to our spiritual crucifixion of self in our life. And I like what David says. He said, part of that is submitting to his word, even when it disagrees with our worldly desires. And that's true. Part of that is submitting to his word, even when it disagrees with our worldly desires. Because our kingdom is not of this world, is it? It's not. But anyway, anybody else? Michael, you got something you want to share? He must be listening in. All right. Thank you, Lord. Anybody got anything they'd like to share now? Here's something else. We're in chapter 7 of How Shall We Die, and it's called Kingdom Warfare. And there's a lot of good stuff in there that goes along with what we're even talking about right here. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to cite some of the stuff there. And Tim, you might help me here if you want to. He's talking about my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. But since his kingdom is not a worldly kingdom at all, his servants don't fight, even to defend him or to defend themselves. However, we do have one who fights for us, don't we? In fact, his power is far greater than anything we could wield. And Jesus told his disciples, don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels if I wanted help? You don't have to bring out that puny sword. 12 legions of angels. And a Roman legion was between 4,500 and 6,000 men. And you know, Jesus had an angel that wiped out 185,000. Just one of them. Just one angel did that. 185,000 of them. So what are we worried about? We don't need to be worried about anything. If we depend on God, his power is made perfect in our weakness. And if we want to see the power of God to defend us, then we got to quit trying to defend ourselves, don't we? And allow God to do it. Peter said, but ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And he's talking about us. He says it's us who have, who he begat us again. Those who are born again belong to this holy nation. And that word holy, listen to me, that word holy means separate, sanctified, separated from the world. Are you separated from the world? All of God's born again people are one holy nation that covers the globe. God ain't a respecter of persons. And he says in verse 9, but ye are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that ye may show forth the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He said that they were royal priesthood. And we know that's spiritual. Because in verse 5 it says, ye also as living stones, are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're spiritual priests. We offer up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord. And as a chosen generation, we are a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom at all. Ain't got nothing to do with the physical. It's all spiritual. So praise be to God. We're a born-again royal priest if we're allowing God to do what he wants to do in our life. And we're now Jews according to the Spirit. And we're also priests who offer spiritual sacrifices, the most important of which is that we offer up our bodies as living sacrifices. That means we offer this body up to serve the Lord and not to serve ourselves. And in this manner, our reason rails against the fact that the Lord does not permit us to go along with the world by warring with one another or defending ourselves with weapons or anything like that. He's told us to submit to the governments and authorities around us, which in some cases doesn't sit well with our reason, especially when they're so contrary to the ways of the kingdom. But God says it, and we do it, because we decided that he knows more than we do, right? James chapter 2 and verse 1, my brethren, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. But if you have respect of persons, you commit sin, being convicted by the law as transgressors. And he also warns us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, wherefore we henceforth know no man after the flesh. Listen, it doesn't matter what nation that a Christian comes from, they're our brothers. As a matter of fact, they are our brethren, but the natural people around us who don't know God are not. Many times Christians make alliances and allegiances with the wicked people around them, the Antichrist people around them. But listen, that's not our kingdom. We're to know no man after the flesh. And we know no one by skin color, nationality, or tongue. We're all one in Christ Jesus, Galatians tells us. There's no physical attributes that God accepts. He only wants born again people. And the Lord told us that his kingdom is a whole lot different than the physical kingdom. Luke 17 and 20, and being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God cometh, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Now, they were expecting a physical kingdom, weren't they? And a lot of Christians think this is a kingdom today, a kingdom of some religious organization of people on the earth. There's nothing that we can see that is the kingdom of God. Not that church building you're going into, not that preacher. Everything we're looking at is not the kingdom of God. It's that born-again man that's the kingdom of God. Verse 21 says, neither shall they say, lo, here, or there, for lo, the kingdom of God is within you. And that's what the numeric version says, but it's a strange thing that the phrase within you can also be translated in the midst of you. That's what David says. And as a matter of fact, in the footnote, the numeric version says that either one of these translations has a numeric pattern because it means both of those things. It means in the midst of you, as in among the disciples, between the disciples, and it also means within you is the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's why I said, know not your pastor, because the man you're looking at there is not going to inherit the kingdom. It's a spiritual man on the inside. He's even going to get a new body to inherit the kingdom if he's born again and serving the Lord and bearing fruit. But there ain't nothing physical. It's all spiritual that counts, and in the kingdom of God. Listen, we got powerful weapons that the world knows nothing about, and it can't resist it. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds." Their weapons are useless against the weapons of our warfare because they're not fleshly or carnal. A lot of people fear that if they give up their right to defend themselves or their country, that God can't take care of them. Well, what you think 12 legion angels can do? If he just sends one of them by your side, that one right there can kill at least 185,000 men. So don't you think that angel that's running around with you can take care of you? Of course he can. And the more we learn to put our faith in the Lord, the more we see that our puny little old weapons are worthless and that we ought not to make any allegiances with nations that are not our nation. And what is our nation? Our nation is the kingdom of God. We talked with a lady here a while back. I was here visiting, and she's very patriotic. And we were in a Bible study, and we were talking about that. And boy, she got real hot, you know. And I just calmly asked her, I said, "Look, what are you an ambassador of?" And she said, "Well, I'm an ambassador of Christ." I said, "What country?" And then I think it hit her right then. She said, "Uh-oh, I done messed up." Because she's an ambassador for Christ in the kingdom of God. And she finally got a revelation, not right at that moment, but she finally got a revelation after we talked to everybody in there, I believe, shared something. She finally got a revelation that she was an ambassador of Christ and that she was not of this nation. This is a worldly nation. This is a nation that's going to come against the Christians. And the church, the apostate church, is going to come against Christians too. The more we learn to put our faith in the Lord, the more we see that these puny little old natural weapons are worthless and that we ought not to make any allegiance with nations that are not our nation. We belong to one nation. Listen, it's a worldwide spiritual nation. It's a real nation. We're spiritual priests at that spiritual house with spiritual sacrifices. Verse 16 of Hebrews 11 says, "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed of them to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." God's not ashamed of those who don't claim that this world is their home or that this nation is their nation, but who claim citizenship of the nation which is spiritual, whose spiritual city, that's the New Jerusalem, is their capital. And for the rest who are members of the world, who have united themselves with the world, that's a different story. Now, I know that God's grace covers our ignorance. Thank God for that. We're very ignorant, but God, by his mercy and by his grace, forgives us, and that's great. But when we get that knowledge and understanding, we've got to do something with it. And that relates to what we're talking about here. If we don't act on what we see here to become a holy nation, which means a separate or sanctified nation, and God's going to be ashamed of us. We have one country, like I said, and we are ambassadors for that country. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity?" Even what the world calls good people, they're not our brothers or sisters. We have a holy nation. A separate nation. And in verse 14 it says, "Or what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" If you're fighting for a nation of this world, guess who's the God of this world? Who is it who causes nations to go out and kill each other by the thousand, tens of thousands, and hundreds of thousands? Think that's righteous? We've been deceived about this. When we join with the world against the world, we're leaving our kingdom. Verse 15, or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, what's he talking about? What does it mean to yoke with the unbeliever? Well, obviously you can do it with war, politics, marriage, business. We can do it in a lot of ways, but God says don't do it. And you can try to reason your way out of it, or we can go ahead and seek to do God's will in that. You know, you cannot be unequally yoked in a marriage, and God says not to leave them, because how do we know that they might not be saved or sanctified through our faith? You know, you can't tell a Jew by looking at the flesh anymore. They might be one of those chosen from the foundation of the world. But we just have to wait and see, don't we? 1 Corinthians 7:15, it says, yet if the unbelieving departeth, let him depart. When we're not bound in such a case as that. Now, after you acquire this knowledge, we don't want to enter into an unequally yoked situation like that. We can get married, but only in the Lord, it says. Concerning politics, some people say, I'm a Republican. Oh, really? Wouldn't you just rather stand for the Lord? Wouldn't you just rather do what he wants you to do? And besides, God's going to install any kind of government he wants anyway. And you, most of the time, are vessels of dishonor and not vessels of honor, because he needs his will fulfilled, doesn't he? Especially when you're talking about an end time beast government that God is putting together to chasten his people, to bring them to their cross, to which they refuse to go. So, as you can see, God doesn't necessarily want good vessels in the government to do that, but many people are deceived into thinking that they can vote in godly people. Well, I'm telling you something, you ain't voting nothing in. They're going to put in there who they want to anyway. God's going to put in there whoever he wants to. And Obama is God's man for the hour right now. Unprofitable servant that he is, that's God's servant for the hour. That's God's king for the hour. There is no physical warfare in our kingdom. It's all spiritual warfare. Turn the other cheek, love your enemy, do good to them that despitefully use you. Why would we reunite? Why would we go back to the country from which we are coming out, as Paul said? God is not ashamed to call us his children and himself our God. If we're looking for that spiritual country, we're not pledging allegiance to a wicked nation of this world, right? 2 Corinthians 6:17 said, wherefore come up out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. A lot of people think that's talking about the harlot. Well, that's just part of it, because the harlot is a worldly church. They got more affinity for the world than they do for the Lord. But it's also talking about coming out of the world. He says, make no allegiances with the world at all. 17, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. How many of you want the Lord to receive you in all things? But you're not willing to give up the world to do it. Uh-oh. Verse 18, and will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Got to notice that sonship comes to those who become separated from the world. Sometimes God will separate us from allegiances to the world and being unequally yoked. And we ought to accept it when the Lord does that. He said, yet if the unbelieving departed, let him depart. That's an example, but Paul goes even deeper. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We all need the fear of God, don't we? I pray all the time that my family gets draped with the fear of God. Because when you got the fear of God, then you're going to look to God. You're going to look to Him. We are not to join with the world in their bitterness, their anger, their lust against other nations. Because we don't know anybody after the flesh, right? We don't have an allegiance to one man who is maybe one color or maybe one nationality against another man. Because the Lord is no respecter of persons, and we're also forbidden to do so. James said it was a sin. We don't hold one man more valuable than another man, especially when referring to a bunch of lost people in the world. They all belong to one another. But when we come into the kingdom, we are one holy nation worldwide. And God has called us to be separate in order for us to be sons of God. Praise be to God. Somebody breathing hard. Who is that?
It's me.
Thank you, Lord. Oh. That you, Judy? Well, all right. Has anybody got any comments on any of this? That we're a nation set apart from this world, right? Come on, y'all, let's get some discussion going here. How many of you believe that we're not of this nation, America? We live here temporarily. That's a temporary abode for us. But our permanent home is up in heaven.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
Yeah, I was just, when you were saying that, I mean, I was just saying where, you know, that we're, you know, sojourners here. We're not of this nation. But I was really seeing where most of the church are so entwined with the world that, you know, they're basically illegal immigrants. You know, in this world, you know, they're not, you know, their alliance is, you know, with this nation and not with God's nation. You know, they're total, you know, illegals, you know, as far as in the kingdom, you know, because they haven't left their allegiance, you know, with this world, you know. And when you made a comment as far as no man after the flesh, you know, that's in a lot of different ways because we tend to, you know, we could either judge somebody, you know, that's, you know, we're judging them in the flesh. Or the other thing we can do is we can lift them up. You know, we tend to lift up, you know, people that we admire and that, and we need to be totally separated, you know, and, you know, we can't be, you know, lifting up or, you know, I mean, as far as, you know, putting somebody on a pedestal or, you know, the other end of it as far as judging, you know, we just, you know, we need to walk in the Spirit, see in the Spirit, and not, you know, warn the flesh or, you know, run after the flesh, you know, as far as that. And, you know, when you're talking about the, you know, Obama, you know, the king of the time. I was in a Bible study the other day, you know, I was in Matthew and I looked up, I was, you know, reading about, you know, Herod, you know, King Herod, that, you know, when he found, you know, that Jesus was born, you know, wanted to, you know, went out and killed all the children under 2 years old, you know, trying to take out Jesus. And when I looked up Herod, you know, it basically, Herod the Great was an Arab, and he was actually an Edomite whose ancestors converted to Judaism. So he wasn't even a true Jew. And he was appointed a governor of Galilee. And he was backed by the, you know, the Roman Empire. And they ended up putting him into power, and they gave him the title of King of the Jews. And he was, you know, that was by the Roman Senate. And he was used of Rome. And, you know, or actually he kind of band up with Rome to take captive Jerusalem and take over Jerusalem. And, you know, in that whole thing, he was just kind of a puppet ruler. I mean, he was, you know, he was put into power, you know, by the beast. And, you know, he claimed to be a Jew, but he was really an Arab. And in this thing I was reading on that, most of the, you know, the people in the, you know, the, Judea, you know, religious leaders, you know, questioned, you know, his being Jewish, you know, as far as that. And I sort of saw that when, you know, because there was even a situation where he was married and had a child, and he wanted to, you know, gain more power, and he married in with, you know, was a relative of, you know, the, you know, Judea king or something like that, and he offered his wife and child, you know, just to gain power. And I just saw it as kind of a type of Obama in our day. You know, we got this, you know, this Arab in office that has been set up by the, you know, the beast empire, you know, as far as that. And, you know, he wants to eventually, or, you know, ideally, you know, kill off the true King of the Jews. You know, he didn't want to lose that title. So, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting as far as that. So, you know, we just have to see that we are not really, you know, of this world, and, you know, God's in control, and, you know, we just, you know, that spirit of patriotism is just, I mean, it's just caused, you know, so many divisions, so many wars. And, you know, when we go and we, you know, we start annihilating other countries and bombing and everything else, I mean, we're basically, you know, that, and this was in the study too, is we're basically out there killing other Christians. I mean, there's other Christians in these cities that we're bombing and annihilating and stuff like that. And, you know, the other thing is these people that we're killing that don't know Christ, I mean, we're condemning them to hell. And we call ourselves a Christian nation, and we just, you know, we send out these shock and, you know, whatever they say, shock and awe type things, where we just go annihilate the whole cities, and, you know, with our Air Force. And it's just, you know, it's all evil, and it's all, you know, of Satan. That's not the Lord, that's not Christ. And, you know, but we, you know, we hold up the flag of a Christian nation, and there's no Christ behind it. It's the same thing in the church, you know, with the, you know, the church is a bunch of illegal aliens that really don't know the word of God and are full of patriots and want to, you know, go out there and destroy the Muslims and all that. And it's just, you know, what spirit are you of? So I thought that was kind of interesting. I just wanted to, you know, add to it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else got any comments? You know, the whole world, Jesus said this, is going to hate us all. Every nation is going to hate us. And the reason God is doing that is to get God's people to join together. In what way can God's people come to realize that the kingdom they live in and have patriotism toward is not the kingdom of God, other than by turning it to hate them? And God will, for his name's sake, turn the whole world to hate his people. He caused the Egyptians' heart to hate his people. And in these days, God's going to do the same thing, because God's people, they don't know that this world is not God's kingdom. And they're never going to build God's kingdom in America or any other place as far as that go. God's kingdom, of course, is spiritual. And God's people need to realize who the enemy is. There's he that is in us, and there's he that's in the world. And that's Satan in the body of all lost mankind. He that is in us is Christ from heaven. The beast from the pit is in the lost, and Christ from heaven is growing in all born-again believers. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. And that's anti. Against means anti. Antichrist. The whole world lieth in the evil one, Scripture says. Satan is the god of this world. Would you be patriotic for a nation overwhelmingly made up of Antichrist people? Don't you realize that those are the devil's people? No, we're not here to judge them. We're here to bring them the gospel, to offer them the grace of the kingdom, and find out which among them is chosen of God. Boy, I thought that was good. That's a good paragraph right there. We are to be separate, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And what does that word fellowship mean? Having in common. It means giving and receiving. We are not to receive the things of the wicked world. We have fellowship with the world many times when we're just sitting there feeding on that old TV because we're polluting ourselves in our spirit. 1 Corinthians 5 and 6 says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. God wants us to have fellowship, having in common with his word, fellowship with Jesus Christ. Once a person is joined patriotic to the world, they're joined to a spirit that has murdered as many people as religion. That's the two major killers of people, religion and patriotism. And some of you might say, I never thought of it that way. No. Some of you probably, I'm quoting David here. No, some of you are probably mad as a wet hen right now, but it doesn't make any difference. This is the word of God. Straight out of the word, it says that we need to separate from this wicked world. They live according to their lusts. They war against other nations because they think they have a right to. God says we don't have a right to. We're to love our enemy. That's what he commanded. How are you going to love your enemies if you're sitting over there murdering them? And we're to offer them the gospel, not a sword or a bullet. Anybody got any comments about patriotism or where your kingdom is? What is your nation? Our nation is the kingdom of God, isn't it? 1 John 2 and 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. How many of you want to live forever with the Lord? Eternal life has to do with our doing the will of God. And some of these things that we're, David, this is David. Some of these things that we're looking at are not popular, but they will separate us from the world. And that's what's necessary to be sanctified. Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow after peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. The sanctification is this process of separating us from the world, from sin, from evil, and from these antichrist people around us, unto the kingdom of God, the one holy nation that does not recognize race, creed, or nationality. And obviously, when we get fully in the kingdom of God, into heaven, We're going to have so many brothers and sisters that will be glad for the variety. God is. He created them all. A lot of young men have gone out and died for a nation because of the vainglory of life. And they think they're going to have great glory fighting for this world. But there is no glory in murdering and killing. It's contrary to God's way. It's contrary to his nature, and he hates it. The people who are being killed are the very people that we're supposed to be offering eternal life to. And yet we're sending them off to eternal damnation. What are we here for? Wars don't come from God. James 4:1 says, whence come wars and whence come fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your pleasures that war in your members? There are no just wars. We are not to go to war along with the world if we want to enter the spiritual, eternal kingdom of God and not have God be ashamed of us. But if we go into war with the world after we receive knowledge, God's going to be ashamed of us. Now, David says, now I'm not saying that God is condemning our forefathers here in America for the wars that they fought. The great thing about God is, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. But the Lord wants us now to grow up in this day. So when we look at these things, he wants us to act on them. It doesn't matter that our forefathers fought and died to give freedom to America. That ain't got nothing to do with what God's doing with us right now and here. He's creating sons of God in these days. Jesus, the Son of God, can't even be imagined as taking up a weapon and fighting for natural Israel. As a matter of fact, when he prophesied judgment on natural Israel and talked about the beast kingdoms encompassing them about, destroying them. He was on God's side. That's where we have to be, on God's side. And it don't make any difference what nation we're from. We all need to be on God's side, don't we? I hope we think about these things the next few days. And I'd like to see, come Thursday night, a lot more participation and a lot more discussion from everybody. I know we're in perilous times now, and if you have any questions, you know, if we can't answer them, we'll try to get the answers. Has anybody got any questions? Anybody got anything they'd like to add to or comment on?
Yeah, Michael?
Hey.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to chime in on is one of the things that that will, I'm sure, spur the hatred of the world at large against God's people is that particularly this ministry is that you're taught that the Bible is a grand work of sanctification, and by and large the world has absolutely no idea about this part of what the Bible is for. They think, oh, it's about God, it's about Jesus, his sacrifice, and they believe simply going to church is all it takes. That the Bible is a work of grand, wholesale, whole scale sanctification. That idea probably has never dawned on any of the regular church people. Never has occurred to them, perhaps never has been by and large taught. And when the people find out how high the bar is, they will certainly mount up with these offenses.
Oh, absolutely. You're right there. You know, these agendas that are coming out, there's 12 more agendas is different from the homosexual marriage thing that are on the boards and are fixing to come out. And I don't know if David talked about it the other night or not, but it's they're talking about pedophilia and bestiality and all of that stuff, legalizing all of that garbage. And when they do that, you know, of course, as well as I do, that those that are preaching the truth out there are going to, that the world is going to come against them. We've got churches now that are giving in to this marriage thing, this homosexual marriage thing. I noticed the other day the Presbyterian, the other side of the Presbyterian, the conservative side of the Presbyterian church caved into it. So it's just a matter of time.
I wonder how much of that the mechanism being perhaps economic pressure, because after the your recent very public denouncement of commercial activities where gay couples and services in general afforded to the general public up until a certain religious couple or a certain religious person or interest is confronted with this and refuse to do so, and because it's in an economic scenario, the courts get involved and have now found against the people who are offering these services. And now with what has happened with the Supreme Court, if now churches are under compulsion to, in an economic scenario, perform gay weddings, with perhaps the very present threat that they will be under jeopardy if they refuse to do so.
Oh, absolutely. They will. Most of the 501c3s are government geared, you know, and they'll pull their 501c3, and they're either going to have to cave in or they're going to have to struggle out there by faith, you know. Hopefully they'll do the latter. They'll struggle by faith. But even at that, if they don't do it, you know, it's going to be law that they'll put the pastor in jail and FEMA camps and all that kind of stuff. Maybe even just at some point in time, you know, kill a bunch of them. But praise be to God. That's one step away from the Lord, isn't it? Yeah, this mm-hmm. world has really, really gotten bad. We're kind of running out of time here. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Okay, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just I thank you, Lord, that you are opening our eyes to see that we need to get closer to you, Lord. And Father, we thank you that you're drawing us to you like that magnet we were talking about. And Father, we thank you that you're shedding the world out of us. You're slicing the flesh off of us, Lord. And we're becoming this mature sons of God, daughters of God that you want us to be, Lord. We thank you for giving us all that measure of faith that we're going to need in the days ahead, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you've told us where you want us to be, whether it be where you are now, where we are now, or whether you want us to move, Lord. And we thank you for your confirming words, Lord, in that respect. Be with us, protect us, provide for us. And Lord, we just ask that you give us dreams and visions about the things that we need to know about. And that Thursday night, Lord, that you would have the people relate what you've given them, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Well, good night, everybody, and God bless you, and we love you.